Today, on this Feast of Pentecost, we think a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and Jesus sending the Spirit upon all of us. What I find interesting is in the Gospel, there is a connection between the receiving the Holy Spirit and this curious line about forgiving sins. Whose sins you will forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Now, you know, just thinking about that, you know, for many of us, that we got to, it's like we got to kind of turn that around a little bit. Because most of the time when you think about sins, for most of us, sins have to do with individual transgressions. You know, it's like my friend Sam here, when you're not nice to her, and then you say, honey, you know, I've been sort of a grumpy old bear this past week, and I'm sorry. You know, not that you would ever do that, of course, you know. But we say, okay, I did that, and so now I have to ask for forgiveness. Yeah, go smack him a little bit, Beth, you know. If we try to get our hands around that, then the next thing we say is, well, what's this thing about whose sins you forgive are forgiven and whose sins you retain are retained? And we said, wait a minute, I didn't think that power was given to us. You know, I it was God who is supposed to forgive sins. You know, God's the one who forgives, you know. So I think part of our challenge is trying to understand this in an expanded way. It isn't that understanding sin as individual transgressions, and it isn't that God forgives us. That's not good information. It is, because that's true on a lot of levels. But I think what Jesus was talking about with the disciples today is trying to understand forgiveness as a way of being in relationship to people and the world around us, and that forgiveness is it on so many more levels. It's not so much about forgiving individual transgressions, but in a certain sense, and probably a much broader sense, is forgiving life for being imperfect. For forgiving people for being imperfect, forgiving people for never living up to our expectations, forgiving life for not being fair, forgiving life for not making sense, you know? And perhaps even beyond that, it's forgiving life for always, for going in ways that we don't want it to go. And so much of that has to do with the fact that, gosh, life changes all around us. In the Buddhist tradition, they say one of the great levels of wisdom you get to is that when you can just say it's okay that life changes. And in fact, change is always happening. Change is the one thing that's there, and to acknowledge that and to own that. You know, we live in a world of technological changes. I was struck by that yesterday. I was with Dan and Kathy Shank at your great niece's graduation party, and talking with one of your nephews over there about farming. Now, You know, I'm thinking about, you know, my dad when he was farming and farmed with two mules. And you move beyond that a little bit further. And I'm looking down here at Tony Scheller when you go out there and plant, you know, get a tractor and you plant the field and you harvest it. And so, you know, now we're sitting there with this guy, and of course, he's telling us about planting corn. And he said, oh, you know, he said, we planted 250 acres in one day, and that wasn't even a big day for us. But the most amazing thing is, now when you plant the corn, all this stuff is guided by satellites, by GPS. And so, I mean, he's sitting there in his tractor as the tractor is being guided by the GPS system. And of course, they sell these corn planters, and so he's troubleshooting other guys who are using this corn planter. So he's on his computer, you know, on the internet with somebody over in Illinois and somebody down in Kentucky, and I forget where the other place is, trying to troubleshoot their corn planters while at the same time sitting in his tractor planting the acres of corn that he was planting. You think, my goodness, how things have changed. And then you think, gosh, is that where is that change? Are we going to look back and look at that experience and say, as much as we look back and say, remember the days when they used to plant corn with mules and horses? Are we going to look back at this guy and say, remember when you actually had to have a tractor out there and pull a planter around to plant corn? Who knows what it's going to be? Now, in the midst of all of that, it changes. Honestly, it changes all the time. And one of the things that I've noticed in my life is, as I've gotten older, I don't like change. I mean, I use these word processing programs, Microsoft Publisher, and I'm familiar with Microsoft 2007. And they've gone way beyond that. There's 10 other advances, and every time you turn around, they come out with another version, and another version after that, and another version. And I, you know, you get to the point where you say, just stop it, just enough, just leave it the way it is. You know, and we do that a lot with you know, a lot of the technology around us. You know, thinking about carpenters who used to go out and use hammers and saws and tape measures. Oh, they don't use those things anymore. Nailers, you know, computers that cut boards. You know, they got these other little devices that take measurements. Forget a ruler anymore. And you think, geez, what's it going to be like, you know? And you face, you know, you sit in the world where change is always going to be. I mean, I'm looking at that and saying, you know, the high school that I went to, no longer in existence. The college that I went to, no longer in existence. Church that I got ordained in, not even a church anymore. You know, several of the parishes that I served in as a priest, not even in existence anymore. You know, and you see all that and you can say, God, I hate all this change. It's like, oh, you know, or you can sit back and say, change is always part of it. We sit lightly with that. And you think, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Now, you get mad and say, I ain't going to put up with this. You know, in a lot of ways, that's where we're at, you know. But it doesn't help. Or, even when you think not just about change, but, you know, I always think that one of the signs of getting older and wiser is mostly when you can smile more. And not smile because you're necessarily happy and joyous, but smile because you say, oh my, oh, there it is again. You know, this past week, I had a guy I've known for a long time. He came and he wanted to talk about his granddaughter, and he said, you know, you baptized that granddaughter. And I said, yeah, probably did. You know, and it's like, here we are, and we're trying to teach her about God and religion and, you know, growing up and trying to follow Christ and be a faith-filled person. And so, you know, now she's gone over to the One Life Church, and she's going to get baptized there. And you think, oh, dear. Not because what they're doing at the One Life Church is a bad thing, you know. I mean, I can think of a lot of bad things you can do, and that certainly ain't one of them. But so here it is. Here's this little girl who now is going to be baptized, and you think, you know, you got all of that already. You got all of that. It's like parents, you know, when you try to teach your kids and you say, you know, this, here's some things that are really important about life, and they look at you like you got three heads on, and then they come back at you later on and they tell you, you know, I was down talking to the barber that I went to, and he was telling me all the things that you told him. Isn't it amazing? And you think, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm glad you could hear it that time. I'm glad you could hear it, you know? And that's, you know, that's a lot of it is like learning how to hold these things lightly. You look around and you find out that people don't live up to your expectations. They don't do what you think they ought to do. They don't act the way you think they ought to do. They don't care about the things that you think they ought to care about. You know? And to just be able to hold that lightly and to love them. Whose sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they will be retained. And you know, it's funny to talk about that with sin because, you know, if we're immediately in that era of I've done something wrong or sin is a transgression, then it's hard to kind of imagine just sitting lightly with people as a way of forgiving them. But you are. You are forgiving them for not being the way you want them to be. For not seeing the world the way you think they ought to see it. And then to forgive them later on when they come back to you and they say, oh, you know what? All those things that you said a long time ago, man, that's really true. And you said, no kidding. No kidding. And to be able to do it in such a way that you don't say, you stupid idiot, if you'd listened to me the first time, you know, and you say, can't go there. Can't go there. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. And what we find out is this has a whole lot to do with how we are going to be in the world. Because if we hang on to disappointment and resentment and unfilled expectations, if we hang on to that, it's going to be a pretty miserable existence for us. Whose sins you retain, they will be retained, and you'll be the one that's miserable. To be able to sit with that lightly, to be able to sit with things that happen, to be able to sit with change lightly. It's the same energy that says, you know, we go every day and we offer every piece of wisdom that we can offer, and then we don't get invested in the results. That's sitting lightly with things. That's not retaining things. It's not an easy thing to do. And I dare say if your journey is anything like mine, There will be days that you're going to do it, and then days that you're not going to do it. And days, you know, that somebody else says, well, you know, you just got to love, you just got to love people the way they are. And you want to say, oh, shut up. You know, you do. You get that way. And then you realize, yeah, that's right. I gotta let it go. I gotta let it go. To be that one. There's something about that energy and the energy that comes when Jesus said to the disciples, be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit.